I wonder if you notice how that in the lead up to Christmas has become quite a thing. Competition for the best Christmas ad. The Tesco's ad this year, you'll have seen it, features a grandma. She's standing in the snow outside a Tesco, and she's asked by a Tesco staff member, need a little help? To which she feistily replies, oh, don't you worry about me, my love. This year, nothing's stopping me. And she rides off on her scooter to Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. There are parties and shopping. There are visits to Santa. There's carol singing. There's flights to holiday and loved ones. And there's Christmas dinner with family and friends. And it really captures something of the things that we treasure at Christmas time. And the things that we couldn't do last year. After last year, we're determined to make it a good one. And so Tesco's strap line, this year, nothing's stopping us. And yet, doesn't it feel like as we approach Christmas again this year, with Omicron stats shooting through the roof, London yesterday declaring a major incident, and our top medics and scientists warning of a tsunami of COVID infections ahead and rumors of another lockdown and big decisions needing to be made in the next few days. This year, nothing stopping us does sound a little hollow right now. If the pandemic has taught us anything at all, surely it's that our plans are pretty flaky at best. There are many things. There are unexpected things, unwelcome things that can stop us in our tracks. And it's really hard. I don't know how you're doing right now, but it's quite hard, isn't it? Looking forward, not knowing if infection or a new lockdown is going to scupper Christmas, isolate us from family and friends this year. And so our hopes for Christmas they have to be held with a loose grip, because nothing is certain. Apart from the baby at the heart of Christmas. And so I want us to pause briefly now and consider this. As we head into another Christmas overshadowed by COVID, hope is called Jesus. Hope is called Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, three things. Firstly, hope is called Jesus, the God who is Savior. The God who is Savior. In Luke 1, we eavesdrop on a startling conversation, we read it just now, between Mary and an angel, Gabriel. This actually happened, but of course it's not your everyday encounter. Angels are rarely seen, even in the Bible. And yet on this day, God sends Gabriel on a job he is never, ever going to forget. He's to find a young woman named Mary in Nazareth, a first century town in Galilee. She's engaged to be married, and she's a virgin. The angel is to tell her news that is going to bring hope to a broken world. Listen to his words to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, apart from the staggering news that as a virgin, she's going to find that she's pregnant, we'll look at that in a moment, Mary's angelic prenatal class here, well, it's quite informative. Mary won't need a scan to find the sex of her child. She won't need baby name websites to help her decide the name of her child. The name Jesus means God saves. This baby's name tells us what he will do. He will save people. The Welsh poet R.S. Thomas's The Coming poem we've just heard read in that film captures something of the incredible salvation that Jesus came to bring. The poem begins with these words, "And God held in his hands a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. The poem pictures a world of hope and despair, of life and death. It's the world that we know, it's the world we love, it's home. And the poem gives us God's perspective, imagining a conversation between God the Father and God the Son, where God the Son sees the world, he loves the world, and yet he knows that the only hope of salvation for the world is if he pays the ultimate price in that world, giving his life, dying for the world. Now think of this. You and I, we had absolutely no choice over our birth. The time we were born, the era in history, the place we were born in the world, or to whom we were born. But Jesus did. He had a choice about coming into this broken world, and he could have said no. But instead he said, let me go there. I'll pay the ultimate price, even though it cost me everything, my life. And the final scene of the poem, there's the Son of God, a lonely bare tree. R.S. Thomas calls it a cross-barred tree. So a cross-bowed tree. And people are stretching out their thin arms towards it. And it's a picture, not of the birth of Jesus, but the death of Jesus on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It's the place where Jesus shouldered the burden of our sin and our brokenness. He pays the price for our rebellion against God our Maker, so that people the world over can come to him and be forgiven and have eternal life, be reconciled to God. You know, our plans to let nothing stop us, our plans to save Christmas, they are flaky at best, but not Jesus' plans. Nothing stopped him. The love that compelled him to be born into our world to save us, nothing could stop such powerful, infinite love for you. And for me. Isn't that amazing? Loved by God that much. Jesus is the Savior who was born to save his people from their sins. And today is as you and I, as we admit our rebellion against God, as we turn to him, as we trust in Jesus' death for your forgiveness, for my forgiveness, that is how we can know his salvation. We can know God personally today. And that's the next thing Mary learns in, if you like, her angelic prenatal class here. Hope is called Jesus, the God who is here. The God who is here. In Luke 1, verse 32, we read this. The angel says about Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. You know, so many people, maybe this is you this morning, feel that God is distant. God is, he's uncaring. But what if we could know God personally today? What if God was someone that in the brokenness, God is not distant, but God is with us. He's here. He's for us. Well, Jesus, he is the God who is here, the Son of the Most High. We born into our broken world, become one of us. Think of what happens to Mary. She's still a virgin. She knows the facts of life. The thing is, does the angel, Gabriel, and she has a question for him in verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And Gabriel's answer is beautifully delicate as he talks in verse 35 of chapter 1 of the mysterious work of God's Spirit within Mary. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And look, this is the most incredible miracle ever. How could the baby in Mary's womb be the divine Son of God? How could God himself become human, become one of us? Well, Jesus would be fully the son of Mary because of her biological involvement in his conception. Jesus was conceived in her womb. So Jesus would share Mary's human nature. But Jesus would also, he's the eternal Son of God. Here he becomes human. He would be the Son of God because of the Holy Spirit of God's involvement in planting the seed of God in Mary's womb so that he is conceived there. And so Jesus would share God's divine nature. And it means this, that in Jesus, we are the visited planet. He is God in skin, God with us. Jesus came as one of us 2,000 years ago. And he proved by his miracles, his death, his resurrection, that he is indeed God in flesh. So today, we can have our sin that separates us from God can be forgiven. And therefore, we can know God as our friend, personally. You know, one of the things that lockdowns have reminded us of is that we are relational. It's been so hard. It's been horrible. It's been often heartbreaking being separated from loved ones and friends. We need others. We can't do life on our own. And truth is, we're relational because our Maker is relational. God made us to know him. He made us for himself. And it means that there's always going to be an emptiness and an inner longing for more until we know God personally through faith in Jesus. We need Jesus. We can't do life without him. And Jesus is the only one who is a friend forever. All others we will have to part with in this life. And that's the last thing we're going to see this morning here that Mary learns in this angelic prenatal class. Hope is called Jesus, the God who is forever. The God who is forever. Listen to what the angel Gabriel says about Jesus in Luke 1, 32 and 33. "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Reference there to King David, the most famous king of Israel. But the problem with him, and with every other king after him, is that they died. And it's been one of the most sobering things, isn't it, over the past couple of years, has been the daily COVID death figures, ringing like a haunting death toll in our ears. Never before has our generation been reminded so relentlessly of a reality that Western culture ill prepares us for. And that is, our lives are fragile and they're passing. Everything in us savors life, but we're blighted by the passing nature of our lives. One of the ads that I thought was quite fun this Christmas was the Sainsbury's one, the strap line, "It's been a long time coming, so let's make it a Christmas to savor." And it features this heartwarming Christmas family dinner, and that's captured in time. So all the characters are frozen in action like statues. So there's Grandad, who's drinking wine, the family are dancing in the background, there's fun with food and drink. There's bubbly that's being popped, and there's a Christmas banquet being served for everyone, young and old. Now, of course, Sainsbury's are wanting us to savour every heartwarming, present-opening, Sainsbury's roast potato-munching moment of Christmas. But the idea that they're kind of playing on is our desire to savour the moment, the things that we love about Christmas after a year when we couldn't. Have you ever felt this? A desire to stop time, to freeze moments of joy, to bottle them up, to capture and savour forever what we treasure. To stop the inevitable passing nature of our joys. To stop the ultimate passing nature of our lives, of our loved ones. You know, we were made for and we long for forever. Forever joy. Mary is told that her son will be king forever. And his kingdom and all who belong to it will never end. Not only does Jesus die on the cross to save us from the just penalty of our sin, eternal death. 3 days later, he rises again from the dead. Jesus' life is not kind of frozen in time. His death gets reversed in time. Death comes undone. So Jesus is alive now. He's forever, and he offers us life forever. And it means this, that for all who trust in him for forgiveness, give their lives to him, it means you get to savor life forever. I mean, it's not that for all eternity you get frozen in a moment of joy like in the Sainsbury's advert. No, in heaven, in God's future new creation with Jesus Christ, there is no need to freeze moments of joy because every moment gets better with Jesus, the source of all life and all joy. So this Christmas, in the shadow of COVID, with an uncertain new year ahead, know that true and lasting hope. It's called Jesus. He is the God who is Savior. Will you turn to him? Will you put your trust in his death on the cross for your salvation, for your forgiveness, your reconciliation to God? He is here. Are you open to knowing him personally today? In all the brokenness of our world, of our lives. And he is forever. In your fragility, will you come to him for the certainty of eternal life?